Several Southeast municipal and tribal governments joined to call for stronger protections from mines in Canada that share transboundary watersheds. And Skagway's new thrift store has everything but the kitchen sink. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. Wrangell has joined with a dozen other Southeast municipal and tribal governments in calling for stronger protections from mines in Canada that straddle transboundary watersheds. KSTK's Sage Smiley reports.
Wrangell's Assembly has unanimously called on Canadian regulators to immediately pause permitting, development, and expansion of mines upstream from Southeast Alaska's waterways. It's also asking the provincial government of British Columbia to permanently ban the practice of storing liquid mine waste behind earthen dams. That's because there aren't financial or legal protections in place for Southeast Alaska tribes and communities that depend on transboundary salmon watersheds. If a mine dam failed in Canada, they argue, the downstream waste could devastate the environment and economy of communities like Wrangell. Wrangell Mayor Steve Prasunka said he's seen firsthand how mines have been abandoned in Canada. In a previous job, he ran canoe trips on the Iskut River near the old Johnny Mountain mine site.
And I'm here to tell you, it was insane. This was shortly after the shutdown, and they literally walked away. We would go into a building, and there would still be the beakers inside the lab with Bunsen burners and rain gear still suspended. It was like they just disappeared. And over the course of 3 years or 4 years, I watched that tailings pond drain down the side of the mountain.
Mining industry publications report that the former Johnny Mountain mine was further cleaned in 2017. But Prasunka's larger point was that it's important to protect Wrangell from legacy pollution. The Stikine River is integral to Wrangell's fishing economy, the work of the community calling on its service centers to tighten restrictions on mines along transboundary Alaska watersheds, including the Stikine, Taku, and Unik rivers. The Mining Association of British Columbia responded with a letter defending its safety record. Reached for comment, the industry group pointed to the October letter that says BC's mine sector has made improvements to tailings dam oversight and safety in the years since the Mount Polley disaster. The Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission is a coalition of 15 tribes that banded together in the wake of the 2014 dam failure. Wrangell tribal citizen Tis Peterman is a former executive director of the commission and said in an interview that they're still working to gain representation as stakeholders in transboundary watersheds.
We feel as tribal members in Southeast Alaska that we should have a voice, because anything that's being done on the BC side on transboundary mining is going to affect downstream communities.
Wrangell's local tribe, the Wrangell Cooperative Association, is a member of SEITC and has already passed a resolution asking for more engagement and protections from the effects of transboundary mines, Peterman said.
It's literally in our back door, out the back door. Look across the back channel. There's Canada.
The years following the Mount Polley mine disaster renewed calls for transboundary mining permit requests to be considered under what's called the International Joint Commission. The IJC was formed under the Boundary Waters Treaty of 1909 and is meant to resolve water disputes between the U.S. and Canada. But Alaska critics say that call for IJC oversight of transboundary mines hasn't borne fruit.
Until we have binding protections in place, we are just sitting ducks below what everybody calls these ticking time bombs.
That's Jill Weitz, the Juneau-based campaign director for Salmon Beyond Borders, one of the organizations that requested a resolution on transboundary mining protections from Wrangell's government.
We're not under the illusion that mining is going to stop or that any of us are going to stop mining in British Columbia. We need some of these resources towards the energy transition that is underway in face of a changing climate. But mining can be done better. It has to be done better.
Earlier this year, the government of BC did invite the tribal consortium SEITC to meet about transboundary mining and other tribal environmental concerns. It was the first such meeting for Southeast tribes. That's in addition to discussions underway with the Tahltan central government on Canada's side of the border about mining safety and Indigenous input in the permitting process. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
A new thrift store is serving the frugal shoppers of Skagway. It's staffed entirely by volunteers and run as a nonprofit. Its goal is to serve the community by reducing waste and providing a hidden cache of discount gems to discover. The kitchen sink is the brainchild of a group of local residents that wanted to bring a cheap shopping option to Skagway and a better way to reuse and recycle. The store first got its start at the Eagles Club in Skagway last fall and was sponsored by the Emblem Club and Gold Rush Productions. This summer, they moved locations and transitioned away from the Eagles organization. They are now operating under the Skagway Development Corporation's Community Development Program. As founder Jesse Baker tells it, they're hoping that's a stepping stone toward independence.
We are fiscally sponsored for up to 3 years till we can become our own nonprofit. So that's our future. For the short term is to do all the work to become a nonprofit. We're slowly kind of putting together a board of directors and just starting to piece things together.
The SDC also helps the team with grant writing and bookkeeping. Baker says the big picture goal is to continue to help the community.
Skagway needs a thrift store. Hopefully we will have a seasonal population, and that's when the need becomes even more. People don't have to buy pots and pans every time they come up here, or, you know, plates, or, you know, a coat.
Currently, the store is well-stocked with men's and women's clothes, winter coats, scarves, books, some outdoor gear, and even Halloween costumes.
We have two Halloween sections. We have a lot of stuff in the front room, and we also have some costume material in our newest back room that we just started using because we have too much stuff.
On a tour of the facility, I found a hot dog outfit, an eagle mask, and a Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz costume.
We had a lot of old Sweet Tooth outfits donated. So there's a lot of old-timey costumes, along with some fun new things.
But it's their kitchen section that sells the fastest.
That's the one thing that seems to be the high turnover here. As you can see, we have a lot of clothes. They go not fast enough.
The store also worked out a deal with Skagway's Presbyterian Church to help people in need find warm winter clothing.
The church brought all their winter coats over, and we went through them and took the best ones, which was about half of them. Now, if someone goes to the Presbyterian Church looking for a coat, they will give them a voucher, and they can come to us and get a free coat.
For now, they don't individually price items, but are hoping to move that direction in the near future. Baker says they kind of use a group pricing structure.
T-shirts, like anywhere from $3 to $5. Coats. The nicer coats are like 10 to 20. Kind of depends on what it is. If it's a nice winter coat or if it's just like a thin fleece.
She says some folks do haggle, but not many. She'd rather see the item get sold than sit on the shelf so it's not discouraged. Though they are open 4 days a week, Baker says they may have to reduce their hours this winter.
This winter is going to be interesting, and hopefully we make enough money to pay our bills.
In the meantime, volunteers are helping to sort donated clothes. They make sure zippers work and items are clean. And for items that don't make the cut, there's a free box out front for people to help themselves to, 24/7. Currently, the kitchen sink is accepting donations between noon and 2 p.m. on the first and third Saturday of the month at the back door. The store is open from noon to 4 p.m. Thursday and Saturday, and 3 to 5 p.m. on Friday and Sunday. For KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.